Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 147, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O save me by thy name, and judge me in thy might, O God. Now grant my urgent claim, acceptance in thy sight. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 147. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. Genesis chapter 15. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis chapter 15. After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. They brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. And so far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Adrian Fader. It was Adrian and not Jason Fader, who had surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who art holy, and we so worldly, Thou who art so righteous, and we so wicked, Thou who art so all-knowing, so omniscient, and we so ignorant, and Thou who art so powerful, almighty, omnipotent, and we so weak and helpless, even dead, in trespasses and in sins, O Lord, we try to come before Thee. Wilt Thou forgive our many sins, all that comes forth from us from day to day, all that lies within us from moment to moment? Lord, there is the outward deed, but there is the inward corruption. And Thou art the witness thereof. Thou still holdest Thy hand of judgment, that it cometh not against us and our dear children. Thou still givest unto us a day of grace and a time of salvation. It is in Thy long suffering, but it shall not last forever. And we need to be given hearts to understand before that it is Thy eternal punishment that will make us to understand. O Lord, convert us unto Thee. O draw us that we might run after Thee. And wilt Thou stop us upon our mad career? And wilt Thou cause us to enter into that straight gate and to walk upon the narrow way that leadeth unto life, against all that is in our flesh that desires the broad way? Lord, we are all the same, all cut from that same piece of cloth. Oh, that Thou would remember us, that thou would have mercy upon us, and that thou would convert us, that thou would forgive us. That is, Lord, our only hope. Thou callest to us, day by day thou callest to us, in a providential way. Remember the young men who lay in the hospital in this past week, suddenly having to receive surgery. Thou hast brought him through, but Lord, wilt thou continue to remember him for the body, give him health and strength, the ability to go about his labors once again. But, O Lord, that the callings that are coming to us and that we are mentioning before our congregation week after week, time after time, oh, that they may not go unheeded, that it may not go unheeded by him himself, that he may be given that true thankful heart that may be the change of his life. But Lord, that it may be for each and every one of us. Humble his parents also under thy great goodness. And wilt thou instruct us all together in that necessity of being prepared to meet our Maker. Because in one moment this world that can all come to an end, in one moment our life that can be cut off here below, and then we begin that eternity that shall never end. Lord, it is such a serious, serious matter. But we are such fools. Oh, we have no life in our souls. And Lord, except thou will give it unto us, we will travel, we will continue in our foolish way. And we will never turn, but we will be punished therefore. To that great eternity, O Lord, thou art our only hope. Lord God of heaven and of earth, that thou art our only expectation. Thou art the Alpha. Thou sendest thy Son, thy dear Son, into this world so long ago already, before any of us were born, before that we knew, before that we had breath, before that we came into this world, before that we had any realization that we would need him. O Lord, thou hast provided a way. Thou hast done it from thy own sight, even from the stillness of eternity. Thou hast sworn by thyself that thou wilt have a seed that should serve thee. Lord, we live in the last days of this world, as we can read it in thy holy word. It is the last time. It is the time before thy coming. It is the time before the establishment of that final and eternal dispensation of thy true church. Lord, oh, it is a short time. It is a time that hastens fast away. And we with our children, we are carried by that stream of life. And Lord, that goes so quickly to its end. Oh, we beseech thee. It is thy Sabbath day, Lord. Oh, if thou gavest not such a day, we would not stop in our labors to gain all the treasures of this world. Oh, thou hast given it. Oh, we ask of thee, wilt thou give more? Lord, that thou may give also thy blessing upon it, that in this day, oh, that we may be stopped, that we may be given, for a few moments to set aside all the things that are of this life, and that we may be separated for a little while from all that is of time and of sense, that our cry also may go out to Thee. Lord, help me. Lord, convert me. Lord, save me before that it is forever too late. Oh, Lord, remember us. Remember Thy people. Thou knowest also them. They are called by Thy name. Oh, we beseech Thee. Wilt Thou favor them, Lord, with a blessing upon Thy day? For Thou knowest all that lies within them, all that continues to exist, that they had never expected in the beginning of that new life. All they thought to become more holy, and they see more sin, and they thought to serve Thee, and they see that they serve this world. Oh, they thought to love Thee, and they see so much love for self and for all that is here below. And they thought that their treasure, and that would be more and more in the place where Thou sittest at the right hand of Thy Father. But their treasure, and they must find to be in the things that are that moth and rust are corrupting. Oh, that wretched man, Lord, give them in this day a little comfort, a little relief. Oh, that Thou may come to show Thyself, that Thou may come for a moment to show that it is indeed Thy work, Lord, that it is not of themselves, but that they may be given a little rest upon Thy Sabbath day, and not only from all the toils of the world, but also from all the toils that their own heart does bring upon them, when they are not able by faith to rest in that blessed, all atoning blood of Thy dear Son. And when they are not able to draw the waters out of that fountain of free and sovereign grace, O Lord, we beseech Thee for Thy people in the time in which we live. Look upon the little lambs of Thy flock who need the milk of the Word. And Lord, we cannot give it to them, but oh, Thou canst give it. Thou canst give it in one word that Thou wilt give us to speak. Oh, make us then a little instrument in Thy holy fingers this day. Remember all the afflicted and the sick, and those that are lonely, widows, widowers, and orphans, and all their needs, loneliness, and all their cares, and all their sorrows. Be with all those that are handicapped, and all those who depend upon others for their support. Wilt Thou strengthen all caregivers, and do remember all the afflicted in this world over the length and the breadth of the earth. Those that have been involved in the great storms, when hunger and poverty and misery that has to be experienced in great measure. Oh, give men liberal hearts and liberal hands to give unto those that are in great need, and that Thou may Thyself instruct that Thou art the true and the living God. Go before Thy servants over the length and the breadth of the world. Help them, Lord, on Thy Sabbath day. Oh, give them freedom. Give them liberty. And wilt Thou, when Thou hast truly sent, wilt Thou Thyself bless the labors
that are performed in the midst of this Meshech, that some may still have to be born again, to be called from darkness unto light. Lord, that it may be also in the midst of us, for there are young and old in our midst. Oh, we beseech thee, that thy Spirit may be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, that thou mayst show thyself as one that serveth, and that the strength of thine arm may be experienced in the hearts of the dead, and that thy church may yet sing a little of that eternal song that will one day be their portion without iniquity and without sin. O Lord, hear us. Hear us for the sake of thine only begotten Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 205, stanzas 1, 6, 7, and 12. O wherefore hast thou cast us off? O God, our God of old, why art thou angry with thy sheep, and the sheep of thy own fold, the sheep of thy own fold? The last collection today is for the school, and we also see that there is an error in the bulletin concerning the date of the beginning of Confession of Faith classes. We hope to begin these classes tomorrow evening, September the 8th. Psalter 205, stanzas 1, 6, 7, and 12.
congregation, we read that Paul writes that he also gloried in his infirmities. How is it possible that a person would glory in his infirmities? We would say that is so very unnatural. That is not according to our human nature to glory in our infirmities. But what does Paul say? He said there is a reason that he did so. He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is, Paul says that that power of Christ that is made evident, that is coming into the foreground, that is being made manifest to everyone in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. What is the greatest honor that can come unto God? What is that way that the Lord, even from that stillness of eternity, has sought out his own honor, his own glory? That is the honor that is given unto a deliverer. That is the honor that is received in salvation. That is the honor that is received in deliverance. That is why we read that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, that Son of Man, he is not come to destroy men's lives. There is honor also in that. There is the honor of the just judgment of God. Punishment for sin in a righteous way. But he said the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. He is not come to seek his honor in the destruction of mankind. No, but he has come to seek the honor of the triune God in the salvation of the lives of men. That is why Paul says his strength is made perfect in my weakness. That is now the purpose of the decree of God, that he decreed even the fall of man, that deliverance may be known in this world, that the mercy of God may be made manifest, may be shown forth in this world, that God may be glorified in the way of deliverance. That is also the purpose of the Lord in the dealings that he will have with his own church in this life. He is going to be glorified in the deliverance of his own people. That is now the reason that the way of the people that has to go through the sea. We wish to consider something of that with you in this morning. In continuance of the life of Abram, Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14 are the words of our text. Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. So far the words of our text. God's dealings with the seed of Abram. First, his natural seed. Second, his spiritual seed. God's dealings with the seed of Abram. First, his natural seed. And second, his spiritual seed. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? We have heard that was the question of Abram. And then the Lord will assure him that he will inherit that land. The Lord will make a covenant and he will swear by himself that certainty that that seed of Abram shall indeed inherit that land. And so Abram, he is called to take the tokens of that covenant. He is called to take the animals, to slay them and to lay them abroad over against each other. And we have heard that he may witness the presence, the holy presence of God going alone through those pieces. That is that unchangeable, that is that unbreakable covenant, that one-sided work of God which makes the salvation of that church of God so sure. But then Abram is also informed concerning the time. Then we read, it will not be yet, it will be another 4 generations away. Thus, the true church, the waiting church for the fulfillment of the promises of the Lord. Now one more thing that the Lord shows Abram in this vision, in this deep sleep. What is that? That is the manner, that is the way in which he is going to give that seed of Abram to come into that inheritance of the Lord. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety. That is the response that comes from the question of Abram, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And then the Lord says to him, Abram, know of a surety. Now these two words, they are interpreted, they are translated into two different words, know and surety. Know, certainly, but actually in the original language, they are not two words. They are one word. Yoda, yoda, the Lord says. That is, he repeats it. It means to know, the Lord says. Know, Abram, know. As the Lord says often in the New Testament, verily, verily. Truly, truly, amen, amen, know of a surety. And what is it that the Lord says to Abram that he must surely know? Well, he must know of a certainty how. How that the Lord is going to bring this about. that he is going to give his seed this inheritance. Thus, that they shall receive the inheritance, that is certain. We heard that last time. That is made sure in the covenant of the Lord. But there is also something else that is so sure. And that is the way. The Lord says, Abram, know. Know, Abram, that this is the way that I am going to deal with your seed. And what can Abram know about this way? Well, he may know from the Lord that it is going to be a difficult way for his children. The Lord says to Abram that he is going to bring his children through a way of great trials. And when the Lord says this to Abram, and then he also gives to Abram, as it were, two signs. We read, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Thus, we have the fowls. And these fowls are already for Abram when he may see them. And then those fowls, they are a picture of the enemies of that seed of Abram. Those fowls, they would come down. Those fowls, those birds of prey, they would devour completely the children, that seed of Abram, if they were unable to. Then we have something else. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. Thus, Abram, he is cast into a deep sleep. Then the mind of Abram, that may be relieved a little of all the things of time and sense for a few moments, because the Lord is going to come and he is going to reveal unto Abram things that are higher. But in this setting of the sun, in this horror of a great darkness, we have already a picture for Abram of the beginning of a dreadful period of suffering for his seed that is coming. That the Lord says, as it were, to Abram, there is coming for your children, Abram, a very, very dark time. And then as Abram experiences both of these signs, then we read that the Lord speaks to him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Thus, the Lord has just confirmed unto Abram the giving of that inheritance unto his children. Then the Lord has said, it will not be yet, Abram, but your children, they will first have to go through a period of very great and bitter suffering. They're going to be strangers first in a land that is not theirs. They will have in the beginning considerable privilege. They will have in the beginning a considerable position in that land. But that things are going to deteriorate for them. And that they are going to be brought under that way of affliction. They are going to be brought in a way of very hard, of very cruel bondage. Thus, Abram, you should not think that it is going to go in a way of increasing for your children. You should not think that it is going to be in the way of receiving honor and privilege and prosperity in this world until they may be the rightful owners of that great inheritance that I have promised to them. No, he says, it is going to be just the opposite. He said, if they are going to have to decrease and they are going to become not lords at first, but they are first going to become servants before that they will rule. They will not be first the owners. No, but they first will be made and they will experience that they have to be a stranger. That persecution that began with Ishmael. You remember that, boys and girls? Ishmael. And Ishmael, what was he doing to Isaac? Ishmael was mocking. That was not the same as if maybe you are sometimes mocked. No, that had a very much deeper meaning. When Ishmael, he was mocking with Isaac. Paul says that. He writes that these things, they are an allegory, as he that was born after the flesh, that was Ishmael, persecuted him that was born after the spirit, that was Isaac. Even so, he says, it is now. Thus, that was a picture, that was a spiritual picture for the future. Thus, that persecution began already, and that persecution that continued in Egypt. Then they had to live amongst those who actually within their hearts detested that people. It was for them an abomination. For those Egyptians, that they would even eat with the Hebrews. And where would it end? Oh, that persecution that would end with murder. And when in that land of Egypt, that people would attempt to completely annihilate that people of the Lord, that they would bring them under hard bondage for that one purpose, that they may not be able to survive it, that they may be destroyed. They have therefore cast their sons even into that river Nile. But it will not be the end of that seed of Abram. That slavery, that bondage of the children of Israel, that was not going to be the same as the bondage, the slavery of the Canaanites. Why not? Because that slavery of the children of Israel, and that is upon them while they are under the blessing of the Lord. But that slavery of the Canaanites that was upon them while they were under the curse of the Lord. Thus, for the Israelites, it was the way for them to receive that eternal inheritance. But for the Canaanites, it was nothing more than the beginning of their end that was so surely coming. No, the Lord was going to deliver the seed of Abram. He says, Abram, but I am coming. But I am coming to judge that nation, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. I will plague the Egyptians. I will punish the Egyptians for their suppression of my people. I will force the Egyptians to let them go. And I will destroy them
in the process.
And when the Lord makes a beginning, and when He will come with His judgments, then He will certainly also make an end. Then it will not be for the Egyptians a chastisement that is going to lead them unto God. No, it is going to be for them a punishment that is going to make them rebel, and that is going to lead them to their everlasting destruction. What are the providences of the Lord in our life? It was in that destruction of that enemy that the salvation of that church would be realized. And the Lord says that thy seed, Abram, they are going to spoil the slain. And they are going to go out with a great wealth. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. God is the one in all their helplessness, in all their weakness, in all their bondage. God is the one who is going to deliver them. God was the one who was going to take vengeance on the enemies of that people. He has taken them under His care. He has promised it to Abram. And He said that which they shall have to endure, that will be for their welfare. That was declared unto Abram many years already before that it took place. That was for his profit. We hope to see that later. But that was especially declared unto Abram for the sake of his children. Because Abram is going to speak unto Isaac, and Isaac is going to speak unto Jacob, and Jacob is going to speak again unto his children, and they are going to say what that promise of the Lord is. And then that people, when they are in that bondage, in that land of Egypt, then in the weariness of that way in which they are called by the Lord to endure, and then that people may hear it, that it is the way of the Lord. Know that the Lord has not forsaken His people. When their sons, they are cast into that river. But that this is the way that the Lord has said that it was going to go in their life. That will not be only for the natural seed of Abram, but that will also be for the spiritual seed of Abram. That is our second thought. Who is that spiritual seed? Then there are two. In the first place, that spiritual seed that is Christ. In the second place, that spiritual seed that is the church of Christ. Paul says to Abram and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. There was a very special inheritance that was promised to the Lord Jesus Christ. What was that inheritance? That was a seed, that was a people, that was a church that would serve Him. Not only so, but the glory that He would receive, that was a very special glory. That was a glory above all the glory that was able to be received by Christ through that first covenant, through that covenant of works. When Adam had obeyed, and when the Lord had then, after that trial of obedience, then he had put a fence, as it were, about that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that they could no longer then disobey. Then the Lord would have had a people that would have served him forever and forever. With what glory? With a shared glory. That is, to the honor of God, yes, for what? For my creation. But then also myself, I have obeyed his law. And because I have obeyed his law, I have received for myself that eternal life. Will God have received the glory? Yes. But also glory for his creature. And now the Lord has designed that Christ is going to receive a much greater glory. That Christ is going to receive a glory that will not be shared by his creature. That is going to be a glory that he will preserve unto himself. That will be the glory of a redeemer. That will be the glory of a savior. Of those who have a great debt, who cannot pay that debt. Of those who are not able to save themselves, it will be the glory of the great physician. For those sick souls, oh, that is a glory that is reserved unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be sung out of the heart of everyone that is one day with him in glory. Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. What was then necessary? That great glory of Christ should be realized. What was necessary? The fall of man. That elect church, elect by God from the stillness of eternity, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That elect church, they will become the slaves of Satan. They will be brought into the bonds of death. And it is from this bondage that church is going to be delivered. It is going to be a saved church. It is going to be a delivered church. That is the people who are going to glorify God. But there is no deliverance within the covenant of works. It does not exist in that covenant. There is no such thing. And therefore, by that covenant, God could not receive the fullness of his glory. But that elect church will be a saved church. And if they will be a saved church, then there must be that from which they must be delivered. And therefore, the decree, it is not that he allowed man to fall merely, but the decree of that fall of man. So the mercy of God may be realized. So the mercy of God may be glorified. And then the righteous condemnation for sin. But what will be necessary to deliver that people? And Christ himself. He himself will need to leave the place of his glory. He himself will need to leave that heavenly Canaan. He himself will make of himself no reputation, but he will take upon himself the form of a servant. That had to go first, that he would come to this sin-cursed Egypt and take the place of affliction. In that state, to be afflicted, to be persecuted, even to be put to death, as the enemy would murder him in an attempt completely annihilate the Son of God. That is now the way. That is now the way that the Son of God has covenanted with his Father to walk here in this world for the salvation of his church. That out of the midst of death there may come life. And that the power of God that may become evident. But what has then the Lord Jesus promised to his church? He says, my people, then you are also going to have to walk in this world in that same way. Will not be a way of increasing for you, but it will be a way of decreasing. Decreasing. And then a great deliverance. Let us sing first. Psalter 47. 47, 1, 7, and 8. My God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from me thou dost not heed, but day and night for help I plead. 1, 7, and 8 of Psalter 47. comfort ye my people, saith your God. Why was it necessary that the Lord would give such an instruction unto his servant? That is because of their need for comfort. When faith may be an exercise, no, then they do not need that comfort. Then they may have so much comfort. But what is now the reality of the life of the people? That faith that is not in exercise, and the impossibility from their own side to bring it into exercise, and therefore, comfort ye my people. That was not an easy tiding that Abram had to receive. Thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. When we are a parent, then how can we receive that evil tiding? That tiding that there shall be a great time of sorrow, affliction, difficulty, trouble coming upon our own children. And the Lord comforts Abram. The Lord says in the first place, Abram, that I am also going to deliver them out of it. That affliction is not going to last forever. The end of your seed, Abram, that is going to be well. And they are going to come out of that with great substance. Thus, though they come into great affliction, yet your children are going to receive in the end the very best part. And Abram, you will not live to see your children inherit this land. But Abram, you also shall not live to see them come into this great affliction. Thus we see that the Lord is sparing Abram. The righteous is taken away, we read, from the evil that is to come. But the Lord is also giving. He is giving comfort unto the children of Abram when they may hear this out of the lips of their fathers, but not only the natural seed, but also the spiritual seed of Abram. And why is comfort so necessary for that people? It is congregation because of the way. Because of the way that the people have to go. Because of that pathway. The pathway that is leading to that eternal inheritance. That it is a pathway of affliction. That it is a pathway in which they have to experience so much sorrow. It is a way of bondage. And that is often also such a long bondage. And they shall afflict them, we read, 400 years. Or one of the greatest anxieties, one of the greatest fears of the people. That is what? That I am not. That I am not on that right pathway. That I am not on that pathway that is leading unto life eternal. And why such a fear? Again, because of the way. Because of the way that the Lord is leading them. Oh, 'tis the point. I long to know, am I His or am I not? everything about my way that seems so contradictory. Oh, there are so many things that are such a great mystery to me. Why? Because that way that leads downward, that way that leads in a way of decreasing, and I thought and I expected that it would go so differently. Thus, one of the greatest comforts of the church that is that the Lord may show to them that the way that He is leading them, that is indeed the way of the Lord. And He said unto Abram, no, of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall afflict them 400 years. No. 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 Know it of a surety. Amen. Amen. This is the way that leadeth unto that heavenly Canaan. In the world ye shall have tribulation. If they have persecuted me, they shall also persecute you. Through much tribulation you shall enter into that kingdom of God. Know of a surety. And what is the greatest tribulation in the life of the people? That is not children. That is not that they are persecuted from place to place in this world. No. That is not the greatest tribulation. But the greatest tribulation that is within them. The greatest tribulation that is sin itself. That is the great enemy of that militant church. Do we know that enemy? No, that is not to turn away from outward sin. That is not to turn away from all the outward pleasures and all the outward ideals and all the clothing and all the entertainments of this world. No, that is now not the difficult part for the people. Although there can be bosom sins, but it is the inward part that is so difficult for the people. It is that inward part that is bringing so many questions in their soul. Is it really right with me? It is that spiritual part. It is that part that is not seen by my fellow man. No, it is that part that is between God and my soul, that is seen by Him who is omniscient. Oh, it is the sin in the love of it. It is that secret pride that dwells within me. It is that secret covetousness that is cleaving to my heart. It is that carnality that is within. Oh, that is that worldliness that is the bondage that I am able to leave the Lord so in His place. That I can go on so easy. That I miss the tears that I long ago have shed. That my heart that is so hard, my heart is so cold, that I lack that zeal in that service of God that I ought to have. That my tongue is so silent that it does not speak. That it lacks the freedom. Because every time that I open my mouth, then I have that speaker within who says, hypocrite, hypocrite. The bondage of the church of God, Satan, He keeps that old man serving him. Serving him with that law that is in their members. And Satan will then murder that people with it. He will annihilate that people with it. He will present it to them as evidence that it is not the work of the Lord. And then that new man that has to cry out under this bondage, O life, that is one great lesson for the people. One great lesson about the corruption of their heart. One great lesson by which the people, they have to become more and more unworthy. And what do they have to say in the middle of it all? Is this now the way? Is this now the way that leads to that eternal inheritance? And what does the Lord say? He says, no, of a surety. He says, amen. Amen. That is what the Lord said to our father Abram. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. 400 years. That is a long time. So the Lord says that it is going to be with his people, that he goes before them, as it were, that he is going to give an answer to all the objections that are going to come up within their own soul. And the Lord says, my people, it is going to go from bad to worse. First strangers in that land, and then servants, and then brought into bondage, and then hard bondage. And then the casting of your sons even into the Nile. And sometimes hope. Then Moses shall appear. But then the burdens increasing. And when those burdens are increasing, then the fist that is being raised unto heaven. One lesson. One great lesson to be learned in the life of the people. What is that lesson? That is the corruption of their own heart. And what is it all leading to? And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. What is it all leading to? Is leading to a great, great deliverance. Do you know what it's leading to? It is leading to a song. To a song. And that is a song that they are going to sing. And they are standing on the other side of that great sea. When they may be on the shores of that eternal bliss, then they are going to sing. In that day, when they see all their enemies cast into that eternal abyss, ever and forever. And then they shall see that it was a victory that was gained not by themselves, but that was gained by the Lord. That was given to them from above. Oh, then they shall exchange time for eternity. And this mortal for an immortality. And
is corruption for an eternal incorruption. That is deliverance. Is that deliverance to you? Oh, has it ever become your greatest burden that your heart is not as it ought to be before the Lord? Then that deliverance will one day make you sing. Congregation, young people, do you understand? Who are now the people of the Lord? Who is the true church? You may go. You may go and look in this world. You may go and look in our country. You are going to see them. They also profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a happy people. They're happy. You say, I don't see that in our church. It is depressing. Oh, I would rather go here. I'd rather go there. It is much more uplifting. This is not our word. Read, young people. Read. Hear. In the word of God. And what does the Lord say? It's going to be the portion of the true church. The true church. It's going to be much hypocrisy in this world. The Lord says it too. Many are going to come there. Lord, Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, done many wonderful works? The Lord is going to say, I never knew you. But then this people whom he is going to bring through a way of affliction, a way of trial, a way of persecution, not necessarily in an outward way, no, but inwardly. Who is that true people of the Lord? Oh, don't think it is going to go in a way of outward prosperity. Do not think it is going to go in a way of increasing and increasing until I may receive that kingdom of heaven. No, the Lord Jesus says of the rich, they had their good things. They had their good things in this world. There is a true church, and they are going to learn what it means to be delivered. To be delivered. Because it is in deliverance that God will receive his greatest glory. What does that mean? That means, in the first place, they're going to learn to see their need for that deliverance. Or they are also going to see their inability. Their inability, your children, Abram, slaves, land that is not theirs, their inability to deliver themselves. The Lord is going to teach that by experience, by a hard experience, the life of the people. What did the Lord say? I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted, a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And before that they are lords,
Before it they will reign. They will be servants. And they shall serve. And now it is the comfort of the church to know that that's the Lord's way. It is a narrow way. But it is a narrow way that leads unto life. Then what does the Lord say? He says, Abram, they will come out. And they will come out with great substance. Great substance. Not the substance of this world. It is not great. No matter how much we seek after it, no matter how foolish that we are, it is not great. But that people, they are going to come out with a substance that was bought with a great price, even the death of that Son of God. Great substance, even a full and a complete redemption of soul and body forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O teach us, lead us in thy way. Lord, remember our youth. Show them who thy church is, and give them that holy jealousy of their portion that is not to have in this life, but it is to have in the next. Oh, give each and every one of us to seek and to find that portion. And give thy people a little courage, a little comfort, that it is indeed thy way. And that they may see that it is the way that leads to that eternal life, that heavenly Canaan, and that one day thou wilt put away that enemy eternally. Lord, bless thy word, bring us safely to our homes. And with desire in thy house in this afternoon, give us the ability to bring thy word again. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 420, stanzas 1 and 2. God shall arise, and by his might put all his enemies to flight. And with shame and consternation, his haters, haughty though they be, shall at his august presence flee in utter desolation. And what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 420.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.